How much money do you lose every time you miss a customer call? With a Buzz CRM, you never have to worry about that again. Their system automatically texts missed calls and engages leads instantly using conversational AI. It turns your missed opportunities into booked appointments automatically. It's a complete game changer for local businesses. Secure your access today for a massive discount at thebuzzcrm.com. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
Hi, everyone. It's Richard Zwicky with High on Healthy, the show where we know there's no one path to healthy, so we look at them all. If you haven't subscribed, please do so via Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And today, we're going to explore how MDMA-assisted therapy may hold the key to repairing connection, breaking down emotional walls, and rediscovering love, not just passion. Joining us is Charlie Wehlinger, who is affectionately known as the Love Doctor. He's a licensed psychoanalyst and mental health counselor with over 30 years of experience and specializes in relationships, communication, and emotional intimacy. Welcome aboard the show, Charles.
Thank you, Richard. It's great to be here.
It's wonderful to have you on. And, you know, I was really curious to learn more about you, your practice, and your book, Listening to Ecstasy, The Transformative Power of MDMA. It's been stigmatized for so long, but people are becoming aware of its power, and it's the possibility to open the heart, restore trust, and deepen empathy between partners. How did you happen upon it and embrace it?
Well, that's a short question with a long answer. I don't know if you want the whole story. I mean, I started experimenting with MDMA back in the 90s and didn't know about the protocols.
Right.
Didn't do it right. I had some bad experiences or bad after effects, actually. And then in 2000, I met the woman who was to become my second wife, this remarkable woman named Shelley. And I had given up on MDMA, but she was out of a long, oppressive, stultifying marriage to a very conservative man. And she wanted to, she escaped in because he was really oppressive to her, and she wanted to spread her wings. And one thing she wanted to do was try MDMA, which was called ecstasy at the time. And I was surprised, and I said, okay, if you want to do it, I don't want to do it because it didn't work for me. But
right. And actually, let me ask you, what were the negative effects you had that say, well, it didn't work for me?
Yeah, the negative effects, again, because I didn't know the protocols at the time.
Yep.
It was because it was back in the 90s. But the negative effects were headache afterwards. And once I caught a cold afterwards, my immunity was down. I was blue and tired.
Right. And by blue, you don't mean literally blue. You mean depressed.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. Just because some people have physical responses, I just want to make sure there's no confusion.
Right. Okay. So I'm glad we're erring on the side of clarity here. So what happened was I thought, okay, if she wants to try it, I feel responsible for her experience. So
right.
I educated myself on the protocols, like making sure that what I was going to get for her was not only MDMA, but purely and only MDMA.
Right.
And so to get it from a tried and true source at the time, and learned about hydration, proper hydrating, and really understanding that this takes something out of the body temporarily, and you have to replenish the body, have to eat right afterwards, sleep very well for a couple of days, take some supplements like vitamin C and NAC and 5-HTP and magnesium glycinate, and that will contradict or pretty much do away with, at least for Shelley and then I, the symptoms of what is called the Tuesday blues. So it was a revelation for me and her. She was like, she said, this is what I want. She said, this was like amazing right. for her. It was amazing for me that it could be so good without the bad after effects, but it was also mostly amazing for us as a couple.
We did it transform it.
Yeah. I mean, we were in good shape to begin with. But the transformation was from good to great in our case, because the MDMA opened up all kinds of doors that we didn't even know were closed. We didn't even know the doors were there.
Right.
Doors to greater communication, because what MDMA does is temporarily dissolve the ego while opening the heart, flooding the system with all these wonderful hormones like serotonin, which makes you feel good,
right,
and safe, and oxytocin, which makes you feel bonded,
right,
and so the heart is open, empathy is increased, and so it's a gateway to greater communication. Because with all these things in place, including, like I say, a temporarily dissolved ego and temporarily dissolved normal defenses, one can speak from their heart more freely and more openly, and perhaps more important, hear their partner in an undefended, open, receiving way. So that there's a two-way connection there that is deeper than it was before.
And, you know, that connection, it doesn't just last for the journey. It carries over.
It tends to carry over. Now, we started at that point. We didn't realize it, but we were starting what I would now call a medicine practice. Where we would do MDMA between 4 and 6 times a year.
Okay.
And we found out that it has a cumulative effect over time of deepening that sense of communication, that sense of connection, and even perhaps more important, Richard, that sense of joy.
Right. And, you know, it's an interesting aspect of it. I mean, the one you need to do it multiple times, but it's cumulative. And over time, maybe, you know, I don't know if eventually you need to stop or stop, not need to, or if it's continuous because, you know, our lives continue to evolve and we continue to unwittingly build barriers and walls. But you mentioned you two were in a good place. Nonetheless, yeah. You know, your wife was facing a number of challenges.
Mm-hmm.
But you had the desire to move forward. What about couples who are struggling?
What? I'm sorry?
What about couples who are struggling?
Oh, well, yes. What about them? They are, couples today are really in a bad way. There's so many things buffeting the relationship that challenge a relationship, or the time famine that we're in, where free time is not as much as it was when our parents were raising us, and economic squeezing of us from all directions, living at a time and at least in a country like the U.S., for those who live here, of great partisan divides and bickering and suspicion and rising tensions, which sometimes can drive couples apart if they disagree on politics.
Yeah.
There are all kinds of things and we live in a culture that is so focused on that little rectangle device you can hold in your hand that can give you the world but divide you from your partner.
Right.
Because it sucks your attention. And so this also adds to a lack of communication and a lack of connection. So the couples, they're in trouble. And they need to realize that they're not alone. It's not their fault. They might be doing some things that aren't in their best interest with each other, but it's not their fault. And so many things, especially for heterosexual couples, what was expected of men and women 30 years ago is turned on its head now. It's all the old definitions and most of the traditions are out the window. So women want their men to be not only strong and good providers if they can, but maybe not the only provider. And they want them also to be sensitive, tuned in, compassionate, and empathetic, which is not how men were socialized to be. So there's a lot of challenges facing the modern couple.
There is an interesting, we had a guest on a few months ago, Tim Ash, who wrote or co-authored a book called Primal Dating. And it was a follow-on to his book, Primal Brain, which argued that our brains haven't evolved really in 20,000 years, but our society has. And you mentioned, you know, the technology in our hands. But even back to the 50s, the opportunity to have a vehicle in every home changed how we interact and our jobs and, you know, the roles that people play. And all of this has changed society, but we haven't changed our intrinsic natural selves.
Right. Yeah.
And what you're speaking to is how another way of, it's not just understanding it or looking at it from that, how the brain operates. It's actually how do we build new frameworks and bridges.
New bridges, yes, I like that. And new ways of connecting, especially heart to heart. We can get lost mind to mind.
Right.
And when people argue, which people do and couples do, it's just natural. It tends to be head to head. It tends to be, I'm right, you're wrong, and let me show you why.
Right.
And that's, of course, not going to get you anywhere.
No, unfortunately, it doesn't. And, you know, communication and emotional vulnerability is a recurring struggle in long-term or in relationships. And we talk currently about a lot of people with the attachment style difficulties, people who are fearful, avoidant, or anxiously attached, and so on.
Yes.
They're all reflections of these challenges, and they're incredibly hard to deal with.
Yes.
You know, I have an ex who is fearful and as avoidant, just ran away from the relationship as opposed to being able to move in. How does MDMA help somebody like that?
Well, it can, not in all cases, but it can, especially if the person is guided well during the journey and if they're doing it with their partner, if, for instance, you were with your ex and you were doing MDMA with them and you felt like it, you could say, I'm feeling lonely in this relationship. You're kind of like you're not really connecting with me like you were at the very beginning. And I'm feeling like we're drifting apart, and that's scary to me. And your partner might have been able to hear it, maybe able to hear it in a way and not be defended about it, and say something. I mean, I don't know. I'm just making this up, but say something like, "Yeah, I'm scared too. I don't know how to do this. I'm lost."
Yeah. And I think that goes to my point with regards to, you know, probably was not a bit clumsy with it, but you have people with these, and let's just say the attachment style issues. Is MDMA the right thing to help them overcome some of that, or should they be going through therapy to address those issues first and then embarking on the journey because they've now got the framework with which to work? Or does it allow them to, that they then can do the other work?
Well, the answer is both and so, yeah, they should be in therapy first, and if they can find a therapist who's also doing underground work with MDMA, that's the best. and so that they can prepare. And but yes, they should be in therapy first so that they can get better acquainted with the issues from and get input from the therapist so that they can have a running head start when they do the MDMA journey.
And, you know, people go to couples therapy. People are supposed to open up and talk through the challenges, but they run into that as a roadblock. Is MDMA really the way to break through that roadblock? Or is it more than that?
But there's no one way to break through.
Yeah, no. But is the benefit of it in many ways that it does remove those barriers? It removes the self-criticism. It removes the criticism of the other. It just allows you to speak truth without fear.
It tends to do all that. Yes. Right. And like we were saying before, it tends to do it even more so over the course of several journeys.
Right.
But yes, it tends to, because of the, it's a body drug.
Yep.
It's a body medicine. The hormones that they get flooded with make you feel good, make you feel safe, and make you feel connected.
Right.
And empathetic. So it really is. It can open up all kinds of doors between hearts that have been bolted shut or just well defended.
Right. And, you know, when we talk about pleasures therapy and we think about we're going to go and take MDMA and embark on this journey together, there's part of the journey which is ecstatic and part of it will be blissful. But part of it is also, in this context, will be painful because we're working on emotional repair.
Right.
How do we keep on track with doing the repair when the pleasurable side of that journey is so powerful?
Well, right? First
the experience is overwhelming.
Well, it can be overwhelming in a good way. Yeah. Not for everyone, and some people. Usually, it's the pleasure part is not overwhelming unless they're doing it for the first time, and they had maybe too much of a dose.
Right,
they wouldn't do more than 120 milligrams the first time, which is a standard dose. But it's also important, Richard, to have a guide,
right,
to have somebody who really. Preferably a trained therapist who knows what they're doing and can guide them through the journey so that they can continue to use it in a skillful way.
And, you know, the guide is really important. And, you know, as a psychoanalyst, you've witnessed how psychedelics can both heal and harm if misused. What are the ethical considerations that you consider when advising people whether to consider that approach or not? And when people go on one of those journeys, how do you set it up?
Well, as far as ethical considerations, there are contraindications. Not everyone should do this. Not everyone can.
Right.
If somebody has a bad heart, they can't do this. If they suffer from seizures like epilepsy, they can't do this. If they have a history of schizophrenia.
How much money do you lose every time you miss a customer call? With a Buzz CRM, you never have to worry about that again. Their system automatically texts missed calls and engages leads instantly using conversational AI. It turns your missed opportunities into booked appointments automatically. It's a complete game changer for local businesses. Secure your access today for a massive discount at thebuzzcrm.com. That's thebuzzcrm.com. Tired of social media censorship? Frustrated by restrictions on TV, billboards, and traditional radio? CannabisRadio.com is the only platform where you can connect directly with over 1 million dedicated listeners without the limitations. Advertise your product freely to high-value, educated decision makers. Launch your unrestricted campaign today. Email Brasco, B-R-A-S-C-O, at CannabisRadio.com. www.thehealthyhistory.com.
Paranoia, psychosis, they shouldn't do this. If they're bipolar, they shouldn't do this. So there's certain people who really shouldn't do this. And also, as far as ethical considerations are concerned, if there's an abusive relationship there, where one partner is verbally or even worse, of course, physically abusing the other, then it's tricky, because perhaps they should not be together at all, and your mate can make you feel all good and can get you back in touch with the kind of love that and kind of good feeling that brought you together in the first place, which can be wonderful for other couples, but if it's going to bring you back to the good love leave both partners rededicated to continuing this abusive relationship, that's not so good.
And do you ever run a session and in the course of the session you discover these people really don't match?
Yes.
How do you handle that?
That does happen every now and then, yes. It's not my job as a therapist, unless there's abuse.
Right.
In which case, yes, then I ethically need to step in and blow the whistle on it. But, excuse me, but it's not my job. Excuse me, I'll start again.
Yeah, let's take 3 seconds or 5 seconds so Brasco knows where to cut. And then start with, it's not my job.
It's not my job to tell a couple that they don't belong together, unless, like I say, unless there's abuse there, or unless they ask. Couples who are in trouble, they know they're in trouble. And if they're not asking, they don't want my opinion.
Right.
And if they don't want my opinion, it's not my job to tell them, hey, the two of you don't belong together. But it is my job to help them get to the truth.
And, I mean, that puts you in an interesting position. So, and set up to, like, when people are going through this, you're sitting there in the room with them.
Yes.
And then you give them a debriefing at the end, or how do they recall everything that went on? Because when we're doing journeys, we don't remember all the details, or we might just remember some things.
Right. Well, first of all, I developed a protocol over time that entails doing the basics of any psychedelic experience. And I do consider MDMA a psychedelic.
Right.
Which is set and setting, of course, the mindset going in, the physical surroundings that you have that have to be safe and without interruptions or distractions, but also preparation beforehand, with several sessions beforehand so that they can get to know me and I can get to know them. And the most important piece, which is integration afterwards.
Right.
So after the experience, we go into integration, and where I've taken notes throughout the journey, and in integration, I first ask them, you know, what do you think you can do to, as we say, turn these states into traits?
Right.
Have the epiphanies or the good feeling that you got in touch with during the journey, how to weave that into your life going forward. But I have ideas too, tailored to the couple and their situation, that I will then recommend.
And when people are considering going down this path, how do they know who to speak to, who's a trained facilitator that knows what they're doing and is safe to work with, versus somebody who may present themselves but is really an underground guide who doesn't have the full capacity to deal with everything that's going to come up?
Yeah, that's a big problem these days. because we're in the middle of a psychedelic renaissance where it's really because all these things are still underground because the law hasn't caught up with reality.
Right.
That it's really still the Wild West out there when it comes, because everything is not, nothing is regulated.
Right.
So there are a lot of some bad actors out there who are trying to make a buck or just feel great about themselves or trying to get a name for themselves. But more, there are sincere people who don't appreciate that the medicine might make them look good, but there's a lot of skill involved that they're not at that skill level. So a couple seeking to be a guide, first of all, there are good questions to ask. First of all, I would ask the question, do you do this over Zoom if you're far away? And if the answer is yes, don't use them.
Right.
It's not something to do over Zoom.
Yeah.
This is all about relationship. You want the guy to be right there, for, also for feelings of emotional safety and everything else. Because there's some guides, as even one person out there who trains other people to do MDMA sessions over Zoom, which is wacko, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
So, but you want to ask them, you know, are they a licensed clinician?
Right.
You know, what kind of training have they had? And if they say, well, I went through the MAPS training. Well, that's great. But are you a licensed clinician? And you want to know how much experience they've had, not only as a conventional therapist, but doing this kind of work. And you ask them, you know, what is your protocol and how long do you stay with me or with us during the journey?
Right.
I mean, I've spoken to a clinic. I know one guide here in New York who's a PhD psychologist, very well educated, and he started doing underground work and with MDMA. And I asked him, because I was referring some people to him, and I said, how long do you stay with people? Say, well, they come in at noon and I have them out by 5. And that was the last time I ever referred anybody to him.
Right.
Because it's basically throwing people out of his office while they're still high, which is unconscionable. Mm-hmm. So it's good to have somebody who's going to stay with you, not only until you're back down, all the way back down to baseline, but even past that.
Right.
Someone's going to be emotionally and also with their time generous as a way of really modeling the type of behavior that you want to have with your partner and you want your partner to have with you. You want somebody who's emotionally and spiritually generous and well versed in the protocols and has a fundamental grounding in therapeutic training.
And actually on that, you know, because it is an extremely intimate process.
Yes.
Going through it. Couples are more likely than not to become, they're close and they're going to show affection.
Right.
How do you handle that?
I love it when couples are affectionate, but I set up ground rules at the beginning.
Right.
Of all sorts.
Yep.
One ground rule is that while affection is fine and encouraged if you feel like it, no sexual touching during the course of the journey, because it will distract you from the work that needs to be done. And it's not really a sexual drug. It is for some people. It turns some people on.
There are people who do take it for that purpose. That's why I'm wondering, yeah. Right, how do you handle it when that happens?
I make sure it doesn't by setting the ground rules at the beginning, so that's
right.
Never happened.
Okay. No, it will be obviously something that pops to people's minds, because yeah. What do you do? And, right. you know, you mentioned earlier about having a good guide. You know, I suspect your first journey with how you felt afterwards, you didn't have a good guide. But you mentioned that you've done a number of journeys with your wife since.
Ask me that. Say that again about
your first journey.
Yeah.
You said you didn't have a great experience.
Oh, yes. I didn't have a guide.
Okay.
I did it on my own for purely recreational purposes back in the 90s.
Okay. So then you started, and this will be the lot because we are running short on time, the last piece. But then when you started with your wife, how did you choose a guide? Or were you so advanced in knowing that you were able to set everything up yourself?
I set up everything myself because I'm a therapist, but also I wasn't doing therapy that day. It wasn't really a couples therapy type of session. We were doing it purely explorationally, and it turned into a rather recreational experience. We didn't have sex, but we were dancing. We had fun. So it was not the type of serious couples therapy that we're talking about here today.
Right. So for you, it became an evolutionary process you gained, and then over time. Well, that's fair. So, Charles, your book, Living to Ecstasy, Listening to Ecstasy, people who want to learn more about you, is the book the best way to go about that, to learn about how to approach this topic?
You can, your audience members can look into the book, Listening to Ecstasy, and go to Simon & Schuster or Inner Traditions website. So you can do that.
Right.
But to learn about me or get in touch with me, it's listeningtoecstasy.com.
Wonderful. And for people who are curious, let's say you're in New York, somebody's in California or anywhere else, can they also approach you to find out how to find somebody locally?
Well, I can just say that it's hard to do. There are some websites. I'd have to get back to you with what websites actually list people. But there are some out there.
Wonderful.
But the best thing that they could do also is get in touch with their local psychedelic society.
Right.
And go to meetings there and ask around there.
Yeah. No, that's very true. People should take advantage of that. And there always are paths. It's just people are always looking, especially as people are beginning to explore areas they're not as familiar or comfortable with, but recognize a need. They need to have trusted sources.
Yes.
So, Charlie, thanks so much for joining us on High and Healthy today.
No, you're welcome. It's a pleasure being here.
It was a wonderful conversation, and I was definitely illuminating.
Thank you, Richard. I commend you for wanting to help your audience learn more about this marvelous medicine.
It really is something amazing. And thanks to everybody for listening. I'm Richard Zwicky with High and Healthy, and we'll be back again with you soon.
How much money do you lose every time you miss a customer call? With a Buzz CRM, you never have to worry about that again. Their system automatically texts missed calls and engages leads instantly using conversational AI. It turns your missed opportunities into booked appointments automatically. It's a complete game changer for local businesses. Secure your access today for a massive discount at thebuzzcrm.com. That's thebuzzcrm.com.